This show is sponsored by D-Drops. When I was exclusively breastfeeding my daughters, my doctor told me that our milk doesn't actually provide enough vitamin D, which is vital to our health, especially our babies. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breastfed and partially breastfed infants to receive a vitamin D supplement of 400 IU per day from birth onwards. Baby D-Drops are designed specifically for breastfed babies. They're organic and contain only two simple ingredients: fractionated coconut oil and pure vitamin D3, and it does not contain any preservatives, artificial flavors, or colors. You can just drop some on your baby's bottle, a pacifier, a clean finger, and give to your baby. You can find D-Drops easily at your local Walmart, Target, or even Amazon. If shopping on Amazon US or Canada, you can use my code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your order. That's code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your Amazon order. Try D-Drops today. Now let's get back to the show. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is Cozy Little Convos. I'm your host Alice, here to chat all things baby toddler sleep tips that don't stress you out, with a sprinkle of parenthood mum life talk in here as well. Whether you're expecting a baby, you're a first time mum, you're a seasoned parent needing a safe space to learn all about sleep, you're in the right place. Getting better sleep is not one size fits all, and I'm here to help you feel confident and supported in your baby sleep journey. So let's get on with the show. Hello, hello, hello from Phoenix, Arizona. I hope you're all doing very well. Today, we're going to be chatting about separation anxiety, which is honestly one of my most visited blogs. So I really wanted to do a deep dive on it. And so, of course, it's going to be one of the first episodes. So let's just get into it. Let's have a little chat. My in-laws are coming this weekend. So my husband and I get to go on a date outside of the house, and we're really excited about it. We don't get many dates because I am a psycho when it comes to who looks after my children, which I know is my own problem. But so right now we only really get dates when parents or family members come to visit, which isn't too much. We don't have any family nearby, but the in-laws are coming for the weekend and we're going to go on a little brunch date, and we're so excited to get out of the house and do something fun together. If you don't do this often, try. We do at-home date nights a lot, which is really good, but it's also kind of boring, you know? So it's just nice to go out, have, you know, be in the sun. I mean, we're in Phoenix, so we're in the sunshine, and to just get out of the house, you know. I spend a lot of time in the house as a stay-at-home mum, so it's just such a nice change of scenery. And for us to be together and not have to look after children is wild, man. Like, when you've done it for so long, it feels so weird to not do it. So I'll let you know how it goes. We're going to try this new restaurant, we think, called Hash. There's lots of them around the Phoenix metropolitan area. It's a brunch place, so apparently it's really good. I actually saw that it has a drink from Lisa from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City called Baby Gorgeous, which I'm not going to lie, I do watch that on occasion. So that was really funny to see on the menu. I'm definitely one of those people that looks at the menu before they go to a restaurant. I already decide what I'm going to order before I get there. Anyway, it's called Hash. We're going to give it a go. I'll let you know how it is. But let's just get into the episode today. If you're listening to this, it's likely that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Separation anxiety. At bedtime, at daycare drop-off, at the gym daycare drop-off, when you try and have a shower, your baby's yelling or crying whenever you go to the loo, or as soon as you enter the bedroom for a nap or bedtime, you know exactly what I mean. And leaving a baby, leaving your baby specifically, that has separation anxiety, even if it's just for a little moment, can be such a tough experience for parents, especially mums who often don't get a break. When your baby starts crying or calling out for you or saying your name, it can tug at your heartstrings and create a lot of stress and a lot of worry. And I don't know about you, but for me, it can really trigger my anxiety and my dark feelings, especially when I was in deep postpartum depression, because I felt like I could never have a second to myself without my baby being sad, which made the moments that I did have to myself a lot more stressful, because I was worrying that she was having anxiety over us being separated, so I was feeling bad. So I couldn't really relax even when I was by myself, even though she was with her dad and everything was fine. But all in all, it was just anxiety inducing for all of us. It was stressful for my husband, it was stressful for my baby, and it was stressful for me. But it's important to remember that separation anxiety, number one, is a totally normal part of child development. Number two, it won't last forever. And number three, which I think is the most important one to understand, is that it often comes in waves. you've probably noticed, or you will notice over time, that separation anxiety peaks and eases off here and there. And this is very, very common. But just because your baby has separation anxiety doesn't mean that there aren't things that you can do to help them feel safe and secure enough to let you go to the bathroom for 3 minutes alone, or go down for a nap or bedtime without a total crying meltdown. And this is what we're going to be talking about and diving into in the podcast today. Now, I've experienced different levels of separation anxiety with both of my girls. My eldest wanted absolutely no one else but me for like 18, 19 months before we started implementing these tips that I'm going to share with you. And then to my absolute shock, it did a 180 turn for a while, where she was obsessed with my husband, Matthew, for a few months after her sister was born. And I'll be honest, it like really hurt my feelings. I was devastated. Like, I used to cry about it. I definitely had a lot to do with her sister being born and me having a newborn and breastfeeding and that kind of thing. It was also the first time I left her, was to go and give birth to this new baby that was disrupting her life. So there was a lot of change for her. But now things have settled. She goes between both of us and it's just a perfect balance. Although she does experience it here and there. My youngest still has peaks of separation anxiety. We seem to have bedtime down pretty good and she rarely cries at bedtime. And if she does, it's only for a minute or two. I just pat her back and she's all good. I stroke her hair and she's happy and ready to go to sleep. But she mostly has it when I drop her off at the gym daycare, which is really the only time that we separate, because I'm a full-time mum to her. That and bedtime is the only time that we really separate from each other. And my gym has this incredible play area with care providers and it's amazing. They're really good. My eldest literally runs in. She asks to go. But for a long time, the baby just cried at drop-off and it made me not want to go for a long time. It made me dread it. But with these tips that I'm about to share, along with general repetition and consistency, she's been doing so much better overall and rarely having a hard time at drop-off. And it makes me so happy to see her running. And this was the same when my eldest, when she first started going to preschool, she had this exact same thing and we did the same tips. And now again, she runs into preschool. I've seen this happen with tons of clients, with tons of families on my page, and then also with my own children. So let's start from the beginning. What is it? What is separation anxiety? Let me share some examples of what it looks like. Never wanting to be put down. Crying or whining when you leave a room, even just for a minute to go to the loo, crying or expressing distress, entering situations where they anticipate that you are going to be leaving. So for example, when you leave for work, when you or dad leaves for work, when you dropped off at daycare or another family member's house, if you leave them with a babysitter, as you enter the bedroom before nap time and bedtime, that kind of thing. These are all examples of separation anxiety, and it can look different for everyone. Again, I want you to know that separation anxiety is very common and totally normal. You're not doing anything wrong, and it's actually something that is a very natural part of your child's development. Some babies and toddlers will experience it a little bit heavier than others. This is simply just because temperament, all babies are different, so it's just good to know that. Now let's chat about when and why our babies and toddlers experience separation anxiety. As I mentioned before, there are different peaks that happen at certain times, but it's important to know that it isn't exact. These aren't events waiting to happen at exact certain times. I don't want you to be anticipating, oh, I'm just so nervous when separation anxiety comes at 6 months or whatever. It can peak for many other reasons, but here are some ages where average developmental milestones can cause the anxiety to spike a little bit. 6 to 7 months-ish, 9 to 10 months-ish, I'm going to say ish after everything, 12 to 14 months-ish and 2-ish years old. Now, there are definitely periods of separation anxiety in older toddlers too. I may just have to do a whole podcast on that one. I'm going to touch on it a little bit later on, but it's a little bit different as they get older. So let's jump into the why. At 6 to 7 months, your baby is developing object permanence, which basically means they are recognizing when you leave a room, you still exist, but you're not with them, which they don't like. And it's a new thing for them to experience. So it obviously provokes feelings. It's important to know that these aren't cries of, oh my gosh, you're abandoning me, but more of them just learning that you exist, even when you're not directly in front of them, and that there are times that you aren't going to be together. For example, daycare, nap time, bedtime, going to the loo, when you're cooking dinner, at grandma's, when you go to flipping Walmart to do the food shop. And this is a big change. Before this, they didn't really understand that concept. And that's why you might notice that separation anxiety peaks around this 6 to 7 month age. At 9 to 10 months, they become a little bit more in tune and they can begin to recognize any routine of being separated from you, be that dropping them off at daycare or bedtime. It's really normal for your child to learn how to work through this new transition in life. And this is when I like to start introducing books that help with understanding that you always come back. They might not understand it right away, but getting this message in early can really help. Some of my favorite books are The Kissing Hand. I can't think of the authors, but I will link them in the show notes. The Kissing Hand and Bye Bye Time. Not affiliated. We bought both books with our own money and they've been great. And I love having them start reading these books early. When they reach 12 to 18 months old, your baby's likely got an even better understanding of what's actually happening around them. So when you say goodnight or goodbye, they know that you're about to leave. They're understanding that word and what it means, which can cause some stress and panic, whilst they learn in time that some temporary separation is okay. Like right now, they're not really understanding that you come back. So there's panic. And as I mentioned before, there are peaks and valleys with this. And really, they're just repeatedly learning the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Mummy and daddy always come back, or whoever is the primary caregiver, you always come back. Now, as they reach 2 years old and beyond, your toddler begins to experience some amazing development. And I won't go into too much detail about that, but their general awareness around the world is heightened and they are now entering into full-blown toddlerhood. They also have a lot more feelings, thought, and a desire for control over their lives. This, along with so much more, can be happening at this age and can cause some stress and separation anxiety. And now remember, these are averages. It won't be the same for every baby or toddler, and your child can experience these behaviors at any age, really. But these are common peak times that I see in line with development. So let's move on. Let's talk about separation anxiety at nap time and bedtime specifically. So like crying at nap time and bedtime. And I'll chat a little bit more about separation anxiety in general afterwards when I ask questions about what you wanted me to talk about in this episode on Instagram. So many of you asked about daycare drop-off and starting preschool and things like that. But let's do a deep dive on bedtime first. No one wants their baby to cry at bedtime or cry as soon as you enter the bedroom. They may even say like, mama, dada, or no. And that is just the official worst. And now, there are some obvious tips for separation anxiety when it comes to like nap time, like baby wearing and stuff like that, which I honestly think are great. It is an instant soothing tool for many babies, which should absolutely and definitely be utilized. I used to baby wear both my girls constantly. If you didn't know this already, I am a sleep consultant that is very, very okay with baby wearing, contact naps for as long as you want them and all of that. But when it comes to separation anxiety, I also like to look into not only soothing, but also look into the root cause of the panic and anxiety that they experience and helping them and giving them the tools to overcome that feeling of panic long term, because I don't want them to feel that way. So I want to give them the tools. So I'm going to share a few tips with you today. Tips number one, try to spend lots of time in the day playing inside their bedroom or wherever they go to bed. If you're experiencing one-sided separation anxiety, then try and have the non-default parent do this too, or do it all together, make it a part of your quality time together. If they see that you, their favorite person, their favorite people, enjoy being in their room, their sleep space, then they will see it as a happy place too. And we want to bring a sense of warmth and happiness and comfort with the bedroom, rather it being solely associated with separation from their favorite person. So play in there, even play in the crib if you can, when it's not nap time and it's not bedtime, have the lights on, have your quality time in there to create a really healthy, happy association with the bedroom and it not just being a place of separation. That one's really helpful. Okay, tip two, extend your bedtime routine by 10 to 15 minutes for a few days or so to include a little bit more connection, one-on-one time. This can be especially helpful if baby has just started daycare or preschool and you just want a little bit of extra time together. So by this, I mean start your bedtime routine earlier, not place them down later. So make sure to accommodate for the extra time at the beginning of bedtime routine to make sure they're not going to bed too late. Hopefully I explained that well. Tip number three, and I love this tip, especially for ages 12 months plus, but especially around like 15 to 18 months, I see a lot of babes start to cry at bedtime when they haven't before. And this tip is absolutely golden. Let me tell you that. So here it is. As part of your nap or bedtime routine, say goodnight to different objects and people around the room. The crib, books, rocking chair, stuffed animals, daddy, mummy, grandma, grandpa, before laying them down. This helps because it lets them know what is coming. They're repeating the words bye-bye or night-night, which they are learning is a signal of separation to come. That word, that phrase. As they hear this phrase more and more, they will understand it more and more and feel a lot less blindsided as it happens. So this is honestly one of my favorite tips. It usually takes like 3 to 5 days to see some improvement. It's not going to work from day one, but it's the consistency. Do this every night for several days, several weeks, even every night for as long as you can. Make it part of your bedtime routine. I swear this is one of my favorite tips ever for separation anxiety and crying at bedtime. So tip number four, try and involve them in the bedtime routine by guiding them to turn off the light, especially if they're a baby and they can't do it. Have them turn on the sound machine. They will begin to look forward to these parts of bedtime routine if you do it every day. And it's just a fun way to get them more involved with the bedtime routine, which as they grow into toddlers, they'll begin to love and they'll really need it to feel a part of it all. It gives them a sense of importance and inclusion rather than just being barked at, you know, to go to bed like, it's bedtime, turn off the light. Like it gives them a sense of I'm putting myself to bed, which is such a huge part of toddlerhood is learning independence, right? Tip five, when you and other caregivers are able to, try doing bedtime and nap time or bedtime or nap time routine together. I know nap time is a lot less likely, but try and at least do bedtime routine together or something so that baby gets used to having someone else put them down other than the sole primary caregiver, the default parent, usually mum, right? So if mum is the only one that can do bedtime routine right now, instead of just throwing dad in the deep end, and it being this stressful disaster that leads to resentment and arguments and annoyance, let him join you in your usual bedtime routine. Add him into the routine slowly. As time goes on, he can start reading a book or two. He can start playing a game or two. If you're a cozy baby family, you know, we like to play and get the wiggles out at bedtime. But this gives you a lot of flexibility as a family, spreading that mental load of bedtime routine. It's a huge thing. It was a huge part of our family, and it's been brilliant to be able to split it in half with two of them. Again, this takes a few days. It's not going to be an overnight fix. It's definitely going to be a slow go, but doing it over and over again, repetition, it will help for sure. Now, let's chat about general separation anxiety advice. Daycare drop-off. I had so many questions about that on Instagram when it asked about what you wanted me to talk about on this episode. So for older babies and toddlers, and this is honestly something that I still do with my four-year-old and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future, is to verbally let them know that you will always come back. Repeating the phrase, mommy, daddy always comes back. The word back is something that can easily stick into their mind. It's easy to say, it's easy to learn and to start to understand from a young age, younger than you might think. Starting this as young as 9 months, and repeating this throughout toddlerhood and childhood, like I said, your young baby or toddler can understand a lot more than you think. And helping them to understand this, that you always come back, lessens separation anxiety over time because they relax knowing that you will always come back. Now, most importantly with this tip, you want to always follow through. You have to be honest with it. Always come back. And when you return, explain to them that you're back. Announce it. So when you walk through the door, verbally say, mummy's back from work, or mummy's back from the store, or daddy came back from work. The more you do this, the more they will understand. Repeating that you always come back and following through with that promise helps to reduce panic for when you leave temporarily, especially when they're prepped and they know that it's coming with those routines. We want to help them to feel safe and secure with us, of course, but also develop a healthy understanding that we can have appropriate and natural times of healthy temporary separation, and that it's okay, they're going to be okay. So finally, here are a couple of extra bits to help. Playing the game peekaboo, simple little game, great way to help babies and toddlers, usually on the younger end, to help them to learn that you can go away and come back again. Plus, it's just cute. It's just a cute, fun game that helps them with object permanence. Another tip quickly is spending extra one-on-one time together when possible with your full attention and without distraction. Phone away, no screens, just play with them. This helps them to feel safe, secure, connected. As they get older, let them lead the way. Give them a choice of activities, drawing, going for a walk, two of their favorite things or whatever. Just a couple of things so it's not too overwhelming, but let them choose. This is such a wonderful one-on-one time together because it's totally child-led. It helps to fill their cup, which is really important. So even 10, 20 minutes of this intentional quality time will be really helpful to you. Set a timer if they need it so they know how long that they have to play. And that's just another quick tip to help there. So here's a quick recap, because I know that that was a lot. Separation anxiety often peaks around 6 to 7 months, 9 to 10 months, 12 to 18 months, and 2 years old and beyond. It can also peak during life events like starting daycare, preschool, starting school, the birth of a sibling, moving, things like that. Behaviors can include fussing when the preferred caregiver, the default parent, mom, dad, puts them down for bed or leaves the room or drops them off at daycare or even just for a minute to go to the loo or something. To help with this separation anxiety at bedtime specifically, play together in their room. Make it a fun place. Say goodnight to objects around the room before bed. Get them more involved with bedtime routine. To help with general separation anxiety as a whole, continuously tell them and teach them and show them that you always come back and follow through with that. Also, playing games like peekaboo is a fun way to learn that you can leave and come back again, and making sure that you spend lots of quality time together to increase connection and security. Last but not least, hang in there. It's so normal for your baby to want to be close to you all the time, but it's also normal for you to want a few minutes to yourself here and there. It's normal for you to want to shower and go to the loo or go on a date night with your husband or with your girlfriends, and you shouldn't feel bad about that. I know these tips are going to help you. I know. But really, I really do get a decent amount of messages that are like, I didn't think that these tips were going to work, but they really did, and things improved drastically. So give it a go. And then don't forget to DM me on Instagram at cozybabysleep when it starts going better, because I know it will. That's all for today. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and I will see you in the next episode. Sweet dreaming, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into Cozy Little Convos. If you liked it, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me so much in continuing to create helpful content for you. So thank you in advance for all of your support. If you haven't already, go ahead and join us over on Instagram at cozybabysleep. Give us a follow. I'm always posting really helpful, in-detail sleep tips over on my stories. And it's a good time, so join us. In the meantime, if you are struggling with sleep, just know that you're not alone. There's like thousands and millions of us out there that have been struggling as well or that have been through it before. I'm here to help you, and everything's going to be all right, okay? I'll be back next time for more, and I'll see you then. Bye.